think the Knicks could use this guy.
David Rodriguez was even taller than Matt Fitzgerald, and without Ty in the lineup, the fastest kid on the Vikings as soon as he took his warm-ups off. Mr. Ross didn't put him into the game until the start of the second quarter, but Danny only had to watch him for 2 minutes to know he was the best center in town now, better than Jack Hardy, better than Matt. Great, Danny thought, just what the Vikings needed. More size. They hadn't just added a player, they had added a New York City player. Why couldn't he go to St. Pat's? Danny said. Then I could have recruited him.
He is pretty good, Tess said.
Only if you like a tall guy who plays like a little guy, Danny said. I hear they call him Dayrod, as in A-Rod.
Who's A-Rod? Tess said.
Only the best baseball player in the world.
One sport at a time, pal, Tess said. One sport at a time.
They were sitting at the very top of the bleachers the janitors rolled out when there was enough of a crowd, the old-fashioned wood bleachers stretched from foul line to foul line. And as good as the game between the Vikings and Piping Rock turned out to be, Danny found himself watching Mr. Ross as much as he did the players, figuring that if he studied him, he could finally come up with an answer about why 12-year-old travel basketball, winning at 12-year-old travel basketball, seemed to mean so much to him. And the more Danny watched him and watched the dad coaching Piping Rock, the more he kept coming back to the same question. Why were they even doing this? It wasn't that either one of them was a screamer once the game had started. Neither one of them was shouting at the players very much or the refs. Danny didn't see either one of them really lose his temper one single time, even though they made plenty of faces every time somebody on the court did something wrong. It was just that neither one of them seemed to be having any fun. They looked like they were working. Without ever getting near each other or really looking at each other, Danny still got the idea that they were competing against each other. It was like watching a college game on ESPN sometimes, at least until he couldn't take it anymore and had to turn the sound off, even if it was a game he really, really wanted to see. Because the more he listened to the announcers, the more he started to get the idea it was Coach Krzyzewski of Duke competing against Coach Williams of North Carolina instead of the Blue Devils going against the Tar Heels. He always came back to what his dad constantly drummed into his head. It was a player's game. It just didn't come across that way on television, at least not often enough. It sure wasn't that way here. The two dads were coaching so fiercely, they were missing a great game. And it was great, back and forth the whole second half, guys on both teams making plays, some of the plays so good Danny couldn't believe his eyes sometimes. He couldn't remember a single time in the game when either team was ahead by more than 4 points. The game was so great, Danny understood now what Ty had been going through all season, sitting there watching while everybody else got to play. Even though Danny had been dragging at the end of the Hainsborough game, he wanted to get back out there all over again, mix it up with these guys. A game like this always made you want to get your sneaks back on. The Vikings should have been having a ball playing in a game this good, the level of play this high, the top seed in the tournament riding on it. But they weren't. Even when one of them, Jack Hardy or Dayrod or Daryl Mullins or the hated moron Moran, would do something nice and get their team a basket, Mr. Ross would be up almost before the ball was through the net, like he'd been shot up out of a James Bond-type ejector seat, telling them where to go on defense, what to do next. They all seemed like they were afraid to enjoy doing something right, because in the very next moment they might be doing something wrong. The Vikings gave Piping Rock a run, all the way to when Jack Hardy's shot fell off the rim at the end of overtime, and Piping Rock won 49-48. The Vikings, without Ty, without Andy Main still, had lost, but Danny knew they were the better team, especially with Dayrod in the house now. They just didn't seem to be having much fun. How did Will put it? The Vikings were a no-mirth zone. I don't want to be with them anymore, he said to Tess when the game was over. The Vikings, I mean. I can see why, she said. It had taken almost the entire season, but he finally knew he was with the right team after all. The setup for the first round of the tournament was pretty basic. The number one seed playing number eight, number two playing number seven, and so on. The teams with the better records got to play home games. Seekonk, for example, which had finished in eighth place, had to go to Piping Rock. The Vikings at number two also got a home game at St. Pat's. But home court didn't matter very much to them because it was going to be Middletown versus Middletown. They were playing the number seven Warriors, 1 o'clock, the following Saturday afternoon. The Warriors' last practice before the playoffs, the Warriors minus Matt Fitzgerald, would be on Tuesday night. Their last full practice, anyway. Danny still planned to get the key guys together at his house the next night. That included Colby Daines, who was officially one of the guys now, even if Will Stoddard certainly didn't think of her quite that way. Colby liked Will as much as he liked her, at least according to Tess. It didn't change the fact that she was the only person Danny knew about who could cause Will's mouth to malfunction on a fairly regular basis. The fact that he was able to concentrate on basketball when the two of them were playing basketball together was a minor miracle. Tess would be at the meeting, too. Danny couldn't believe they had ever tried having a team without her. And his mom, who had come up so big the last few days especially. Point Mom is what she'd started calling herself. Point Mom? Danny said. Don't worry, she said. I've got the lingo down now. This was on Tuesday, Allie Walker driving Danny over to St. Pat's before going over to the hospital to visit his dad. Mrs. Stoddard had volunteered to be the team mom for tonight while Danny ran practice. Truth or dare, he said to his mom from the back seat. Truth. Can we really do this? They were in front of the gym, the engine idling, the heat going full blast. Allie Walker turned to face him. It's like I've been telling you your whole life, she said. You can do just about anything you set your mind to. I set my mind on making the Vikings, Danny said. How'd that work out for me? I never said it was a 100% foolproof plan, she said. But it's still a darn good one, and you know it. She faced front, but he could see her smiling, her reflection in the windshield lit by the dashboard lights. Danny vaguely remembered some old song she liked to sing along to that had dashboard light in it, another one of her oldies but goodies. As far as I'm concerned, she said, this all worked out the way it was supposed to. Then she told him to scoot. His team was waiting for him. Chapter 30. The next night, Wednesday. The small team meeting was over, the mini-practice in the driveway had ended, the ice cream sundaes had been consumed by the unlikely group of kids and moms in the Walker kitchen. Tess was the last to leave. Her parents had gone to the movies, then called to ask if it was all right if she stayed there a little longer while they stopped and had a quick bite at Fiero's. Tess and Danny sat down on the two seats in the backyard swing set. Allie Walker said she hadn't taken down because she was never taking it down. It was cold out and getting colder by the minute, but neither one of them cared. Tonight, I finally figured out why you love it out here so much, she said. I mean, on your own private court. Danny said, I'm just trying to get better is all. It's more than that, and you know it, Daniel Walker, Tess said. This is your own little basketball world back here, and nobody can screw things up. My mom says it's my own private Madison Square Garden. More like a magic garden, if you ask me. She reached over and took his hand out of the big front pocket of his hooded sweatshirt, and held it in her own hand. It made Danny feel as if he'd put a glove on. They stayed that way for a minute, and then, because neither one of them seemed to know how long you were supposed to hold hands, she let him go. They kept rocking. It's a really nice world back here, Tess said. You always know what to say, Danny said. What would you call this? The quiet before the storm? Works for me. Whatever happens, we're going to give Middletown basketball a day it's never going to forget, Danny said.
Like in your dad's day, she said.
Not that big a day, Danny said. Nothing will ever be that big around here ever again.
They went back to rocking in silence. Danny put his head back and stared at the stars. And suddenly, because Tess Hewitt was always full of surprises, because Danny knew in his heart, even at the age of 12, that she would be full of surprises as long as the two of them knew each other, which he roughly hoped would be forever, she leaned over and kissed him on the cheek.
"Don't be so sure it won't be that big, little guy," she said. It was all right for her, calling him little guy. Because when he was with her like this, Danny felt like the biggest guy in town.
When he heard the Hewitt's car in front, he walked Tess up the driveway, told her he'd see her tomorrow at school, then went back inside. His mom was holding the phone out for him as soon as he got through the front door.
"Your father," she said. Danny put his hand over the mouthpiece. "Isn't it a little late for him to be up?"
"He has some trouble sleeping sometimes, at least until the pills kick in." She pointed toward the phone.
"Talk," she said. "My two big talkers."
Danny took the phone with him up the stairs, saying,
"Yo,"
which he'd never say to his mom.
"Hey, bud."
He went into his room, turned on the light next to his bed, adjusted the shade so it shined up on John Stockton like a spotlight, lay down on his back staring up at it, waiting for his dad to say something now on the other end of the phone. Some parts of it between them, Danny knew, would never change. Even lately, with so much to talk about, they'd sit there in the hospital room with nothing but air between them. Sometimes Danny compared the two of them starting a conversation to his mom trying to get her car engine to start up on one of those cold mornings.
"Well," his dad said.
"Well,
here you are."
He sounded a little groggy. Danny had been with him a few times when the sleeping pills started to work, and it was like somebody had hit his dad with a knockout punch.
"No," Danny said. "Here we are."
"Nice try, bud, but it's all you now."
"I wouldn't even have a game tomorrow if you hadn't come back when you did," Danny said, "and did what you did starting the team."
Another long pause.
"Yeah, yeah, yeah."
Which sounded more to Danny like, "Lose the nerdy weepy crap." Danny didn't know what to say, so he didn't say anything until his dad said,
"Anyway, I was just calling to wish you luck. I told your mom not to stop by tomorrow. They've got a bunch of tests they want to run, and they're going to put a smaller cast on my leg so I can get around a little better. Unless, of course, they decide they want to run me into the chop shop again."
"The Vikings are really good," Danny said, "even without Ty."
"Big friggin' deal. You guys are better than ever."
"I don't know."
"Well, guess what? You better damn well know by tomorrow."
Coming alive a little bit. Cracking the whip.
"Okay," his dad said.
"Okay."
"Hey, bud."
"Yeah?"
"Get after it tomorrow. Every minute you're out there," he said. "On account of, you never know which day is going to be the best day of your whole life."
The next thing Danny heard was a dial tone. He shut off the phone, looked over at the clock next to his bed. 10:15. Talking to his dad had made him want to play a little more before he went to bed. He didn't have to change, because he still had his sweatshirt on. He figured that if it wasn't okay with his mom, going back out at this time of night, she'd come right outside and tell him once she heard the bounce of the ball. He grabbed the infusion ball from under his desk, slipped out the back door and switched the lights back on, warmed up by shooting a few from the outside, made a little tricky dribble move, and then put up the shot he'd missed against Hainsboro in the first game, made at the end of the Kirkland game. Nothing but net.
feeling jazzed now, as if the night were just beginning with all his dreams and schemes. Andy Main's ankle was all better. He'd be playing tomorrow, at least according to Ty, which meant Danny would be going up against a point guard just as good as he was, and a lot bigger. Nothing new with the part about bigger. He thought to himself, "Bring it on, Colorado boy." He was ready to play the game right here, right now. He stepped back until he was about 20 feet away from the basket, tried the double crossover a couple of times, back and forth, not putting the ball too low, just fooling around with it. Then he was ready to try it for real, imagining he needed it to split Andy Main and another defender in the Vikings press, get himself into the open court in the last minute of the game, or even the last 10 seconds. Left hand, right hand. Then the same move again, just slower this time. Ready to make his move right out of the last dribble, his body nearly as low to the ground as the ball. He made his move between the imaginary defenders, exploding at the basket like a toy rocket taking off. And slipped as he did. Slipped on the patch of black ice he didn't know was there. His feet going straight out from under him like he'd slipped on a banana peel in a comic strip, flying backward through the air without even a dope like Teddy Moran around to break his fall. Chapter 31. He didn't tell his mom about his shoulder in the morning. He wasn't going to tell anybody about his shoulder, as sore as it was. He didn't like tennis too much. It wasn't his favorite, but sometimes when one of the big tournaments was on, he liked to listen to John McEnroe. And one time during the U.S. Open, he'd heard McEnroe talking about what some old Australian guy had told him about injuries when McEnroe was a junior player. "If you're hurt," McEnroe said, "you don't play. If you play, you're not hurt." He was playing. Case closed. Even though he did want to call his dad and ask him if they made junior pain pills, preferably chewable. He took a longer shower than usual, letting the hot water beat on his shoulder as long as possible. When he came downstairs, his mom was in the living room. There was a big box in the middle of the floor. "What you got?" he said. "Take a look for yourself." They were white basketball jerseys packed in a zipped-up plastic bag. He unzippered the bag and pulled one out. Middletown was in blue letters on the back above the numbers. "From your father's team," she said.
"No way!"
"Way?
Was this Dad's idea?"
"Nah," she said. "This one came from the old point mom." The second jersey Danny pulled out of the plastic bag was Richie Walker's number 3. Danny tried it on, careful pulling it over his head, knowing that if his face showed any pain, his mom would pounce. He tried not to even think about the shoulder, worried about her mutant mind-reading powers. His dad's number 3 fit him as if he'd special ordered it out of a little guy catalog. He didn't have to tuck half of it into the sweats he was wearing right now, didn't lose half of the 3 in the front. Didn't feel like Stuart Little. It fit him like a dream. He looked at his mom.
"How?"
"From Mrs. Hayes. After Mr. Hayes died." There hadn't been a dad coaching Middletown Travel when Richie Walker's team had won the national championship. Their coach had been a local basketball legend named Morgan Hayes, who'd coached basketball at Middletown High until being forced to retire at the age of 70. Danny said, "Dad always said Coach Hayes knew more about basketball than any coach he ever had after that." "I think the only reason Coach Hayes ever agreed to come out of retirement," Allie Walker said, "I mean back then, was because he knew how special your father was, and he was a little sad he wasn't going to be able to coach him in high school." His mom went on to say that after Mr. Hayes died 3 years ago, his wife found this box in their basement. In those days, his mom said, the kids didn't get to keep the uniforms when the season was over. They went back to Middletown basketball. But they allowed Morgan Hayes to keep these uniforms because his Vikings had won the title. "Of course, your father had left town by then," his mom said. "But somehow, I couldn't bring myself to throw these uniforms away. There wasn't any Middletown Basketball Hall of Fame I could give them to, so I just kept them in the basement. She looked at Danny. I think you should wear them today, she said. He went over and put out his fist. She put on a face that had some attitude in it, like she was saying, uh-huh, and tapped it with her own.
Very cool idea, he said to his mom. You think they have any magic in them?
The Vikings won't know what these uniforms mean, but you guys will. They took the rest of the uniforms out of the box and folded them neatly. Danny said they could pass them out when everybody was at St. Pat's. When they finished their folding, the two of them were still kneeling on the floor facing each other. His mom took his hands. Don't pull too hard, he thought, please. What started out with the worst day of your whole life is going to end up with the best, she said. Promise? Cross my heart. Everything's all right with the league? We sent over the new and improved Daniel Walker playoff roster yesterday. The doorbell rang then. Danny knew who it was. More perfect timing between them. Same as on the court. He ran over and opened the front door for Ty and Mrs. Ross.
Wait till you see what my mom has,
Danny said, not even bothering with hello or good morning.
The uniforms my dad's team wore,
Danny caught himself.
And your dad's team, too.
Ty said,
cool.
Well, Allie Walker said from behind Danny, good morning to the newest member of the Warriors. Morning, Mrs. Walker, Ty Ross said. Lily Ross said to Allie, he wanted to go to the game with Danny. Allie said, things any better at home? Lily Ross shrugged. I told my husband at breakfast what I've been telling him all week. It's just a basketball game, and it's a game that was never supposed to be about him in the first place. She pointed toward Danny and Ty, already moving into the living room, Danny asking Ty what number he wanted to wear. It's about them. Danny and Ty raced for the uniforms then, Ty telling him he wanted to see if number one would fit him. The whole thing had been Ty's idea. He had IM'd Danny the night after Mr. Ross had called him out in front of the gym after the Kirkland game. It was the last message Danny had gotten before he went to bed. Tie break one. I want to play with you guys. Always a man of few words. Like Richie Walker. Danny remembered sitting there at his desk and laughing his head off just at the craziness of it. Crossover two.
You cannot be serious.
Another McEnroe line. Tie break one.
I wouldn't be quitting something. You can't quit something you never started.
Crossover two.
Can you? Play with us, I mean?
Tie break one.
My mom says yes.
Mom's rule, Danny thought, trying to slow down his brain from going 100 miles an hour. Crossover two.
Don't tell anybody yet.
Tie break one.
That include Tess?
Danny smiled to himself that night. Everybody knew who the real boss was. Crossover two.
First I want to talk to my mom, then have her talk to your mom.
Tie break one.
Deal.
Crossover two.
Dude?
Tie break one.
Yeah?
Crossover two.
We are gonna rock their world.
He'd had to keep it a secret for more than a week, from Will and Tess and everybody, the longest he'd ever kept a secret his whole life. Because once the moms got involved, the conspiracy of moms is what Allie Walker called it, they wanted Danny and Ty to take some time, think things through. Danny knew that Ty and Mrs. Ross had finally told Mr. Ross the Tuesday night before the playoffs, while the Warriors were practicing at St. Pat's. Ty said on the phone that night that his dad had hit the roof, got as mad as he'd ever seen him, which pretty much meant as mad as anybody had ever gotten. But then, he said, something awesome had happened. Ty's mom had sat there across from him at the kitchen table when all the yelling had stopped, and then, Ty's words, totally dominated him. Mrs. Ross hit Mr. Ross with what she called his little recruiting trip. The one where he'd tried to get Danny to join the Vikings. She hit him with the scene between Mr. Ross and Ty after the Kirkland game. Mr. Ross had finally looked at Ty and asked how he could turn his back on his own team.
It was never my team, Dad, Ty had told him. It was always your team. I didn't feel like I was part of anybody's team till I helped Danny coach.
And that, Ty said, was pretty much that. Danny thinking to himself, maybe Mrs. Ross was the biggest guy in Middletown now. The next night, Danny couldn't have gotten their full squad plus Ty together even if he'd wanted to, though he didn't mind very much that he couldn't. Michael Harden had tutoring, the O'Brien twins had to go watch their younger sister's ballet recital, and Oliver Towne had gone to a Knicks game with his neighbors, even though it was a school night. Danny had everybody else in his driveway, walking Ty through the Warriors' basic plays with Colby, Will, and Bren. Tess even came over, pretending she was the center. When they went inside for ice cream afterward, Mrs. Ross having shown up by then to pick up Ty, they all agreed to keep Ty joining the team a secret for a couple more days, until they made absolutely sure it was all right with the league, a kid switching teams this way, this late in the season. But both Danny's mom and Ty's mom were confident it was going to be all right, since Ty had never even played a league game for the Vikings, even if his dad coached the team. That night in the kitchen, Lily Ross said, "It's funny. I was never interested in being a team mom until it was somebody else's team." Allie Walker said, "It's about time." Lily Ross said, "I was watching them from the car before. Our sons should have been together all along." It was agreed that Danny would tell the rest of the Warriors on Saturday morning. Telling a couple of blabber faces like the O'Brien twins any sooner would have been like hiring one of those skywriters you saw flying over the beach in the summer. Now it was Saturday morning. Danny wearing number 3 in white, Ty wearing number 1. They looked at each other in the living room, then both of them rolled their eyes. Ty said, "This is nuts." "Like, sick," Danny told him. They went upstairs to send out an instant message to the rest of the Warriors, telling them that they'd added a pretty decent player for the big game. Danny took them into his mom's classroom and passed out the uniforms there, once everybody was done high-fiving Ty and pounding him on the back as if he'd made his first 3 shots of the game. The guys thought the old-school uniforms were even cooler than some of the old-school NBA uniforms their parents could order for them online. Tess was the only one frowning, saying she wasn't thrilled that the blue trim on the jerseys really didn't match up with the blue of the Warriors' shorts. Danny looked at her as if she'd grown another perfect nose.
"I'm just making a fashion statement is all," she said.
Danny said, "I'll take the hit on the blue thing." Colby went outside to change into her number 4. When she came back in, she twirled around and said,
"How do I look?"
"Let's ask Will," Danny said, feeling good enough about the day to bust his best friend a little on Colby. Will playfully gave him a slap on the back, catching Danny right where he'd landed on the ice. Danny couldn't help himself. He bent over as if Will had hit him from behind with an aluminum baseball bat. They were off to the side from everybody else, so only Will noticed how much pain Danny was in.
"Dude," Will said, "what's that about?"
"I fell last night in the driveway," Danny whispered.
"But don't say anything to anybody, okay?"
"I'd say I've got your back," Will said, "but that doesn't seem like such a hot idea."
Now he managed a whisper.
"Can you really play?"
"I never could go to my left anyway."
Will said,
"You go to your left better than any right-hander in town."
"What is this?" Danny said.
"A practice debate in Miss Kimmett's class?"
There was a lot of loud, excited chatter in the room when Danny tried, in vain, to get their attention, the way he had at practice that first night. When he couldn't get anybody's attention, he caught Tess's eye, shook his head in resignation, and put 2 fingers to his lips. She did her whistle thing, and the room quieted like it did when any teacher walked into any classroom. Even Mrs. Ross and Mrs. Stoddard stopped gabbing over in the corner.
Danny said, "They're going to want to wipe the floor with us. You all know that, right?"
There were nods all around.
"You got that right," somebody said.
"They would have wanted to do that even before Ty joined up with us, because they don't think we're even supposed to be on the same floor with them. but now it's going to be like the Civil War of Middletown or something.
He saw Will take a step forward, start to say something, then stop when Tess and Mrs. Stoddard both threatened him with pinching motions at the same time.
Danny said, "You guys all know how much I hate making speeches, so I'm just going to say this. Let's do what my dad told us we might be able to do back at the beginning."
They were all staring at him.
"Even though it's only the first round of the playoffs," he said, "let's see if we can win the championship of all guys like us who ever got told they weren't good enough."
They charged out of Mrs. Walker's classroom and down the hall, running as hard as you did on the last day of school, just running this time toward the first round of the playoffs. Running, really, at the top of their lungs. When the Vikings took the court, Danny was positive they'd grown somehow since last Saturday. Dayrod Rodriguez in particular looked even taller on the court than he had from the top row of the bleachers. Andy Main had his right ankle taped up high so you could see the white bandage above his high-top black Iversons, but that didn't catch Danny's eye as much as this. He seemed to have grown more than the inch that Danny had grown since October. The Warriors had come through the door next to the stage, so they didn't have to pass the Vikings to start warming up at the stage end of St. Pat's. That meant that they didn't have to pass Mr. Ross, either. He was standing under the basket at the opposite end, arms folded, watching the Vikings shoot layups as if that was maybe the most fascinating thing that would ever happen to him. When the Warriors got into their own layup line, Danny heard the loudest pregame cheer they'd ever gotten, and that's when he noticed how full the bleachers already were. Down at the corner of them, directly across from the Vikings' basket, was a television cameraman, and the guy who did the sports on Channel 14, the local all-news channel. After all the "hey, little guy" taunts in his life, he had to admit this was pretty big stuff. Maybe that's why his heart was beating as fast as it was. Tess was standing near the row of folding chairs that served as the Warriors' bench. She was staring straight at him, and when she started to bring her hand up, Danny was terrified she might blow him a kiss. But she did something even better, something that got him revved a little more. She made a fist with her right hand and pumped it a couple of times. He went right back at her with a fist pump of his own. Mr. Harden, Danny saw now, was right behind her. Michael said he'd been able to fly back from Florida because it was a weekend, but that he'd planned to sit in the stands and let Danny and Allie Walker and Tess Hewitt just keep doing what they were doing. Danny got out of the layup line for a second to run over and shake his hand and thank him for coming. "Just keep on keeping on," Mr. Harden said to him. "Huh?" "Something people used to say back in the day," Danny said.
"One of those," Mr. Harden said.
Before he went back on the court, Danny asked if his mom was anywhere around, and Mr. Harden said he hadn't seen her. Mrs. Ross had driven Danny and Will to the game, but Allie Walker had said she'd be right behind them.
"I'm sure she's here somewhere," Michael's dad said, before adding, "Take it right to these guys from the jump."
Danny took the Warriors out of the layup line and started the Carolina drill they always did before practices and games. Two lines under the basket, everybody seeming to move at once, passing, shooting, rebounding, all of them in a pretty neat formation. When Danny noticed that the clock showed 7 minutes and counting until the start of the game, he told the Warriors to get the rest of the balls and just start shooting around. Will came out near half court and stood next to him.
"This is like ill, dude," Will said.
Danny said, "I think I'm the one who's going to be sick. How's your shoulder?"
"Don't feel a thing," Danny lied.
A ball bounced away from Stephen O'Brien, and Danny went to retrieve it. He reached down, stood up, and before he could pass it back to Stephen, found himself face to face with Teddy Moran.
"If it isn't Coach Mini-Me,"
Teddy said, his face looking, as always, like he just smelled some rotten milk.
"Teddy," Danny said.
He whipped the ball toward Stephen and started to walk away, and Teddy grabbed his right hand, smiling as he did so. To anyone watching, this didn't look like anything more than a Viking wishing a Warrior luck.
"You didn't steal enough of our players to win the game," Teddy said. You have a good game, too, Danny said. Tell Ty Ross to watch himself today.
Danny smiled back at him now.
He's right there, tough guy. Why don't you go tell him yourself?
Yeah, right, Teddy said.
You Morans, Danny said. You sure do have a way with words.
He was walking with his back to the Vikings' basket when he heard the gym go quiet, except for the bounce of all the balls, as if somebody had found a way to turn down just the crowd noise. He turned around and saw his mom just inside the middle door to the gym. Next to her, one crutch under his right arm, the left one up in the air a little bit as he tried to balance on his new cast, was Richie Walker. Danny knew that most of the people in this crowd knew who his dad was and knew about the accident. Suddenly, they started to applaud. Danny wanted to run to his dad, right through the Vikings, but caught himself and started to walk toward him instead. Richie Walker saw, shook his head, grinned. Then, looking pretty nimble for a guy on crutches, he picked the left crutch all the way off the ground and pointed it at Danny. Then he mouthed one word. Play. This time, Danny understood him without any words at all.
Chapter 32
He's okay to do this? Danny said when his mom came over. They'd set his dad up with two folding chairs at the end of the bleachers at the stage end. One for him to sit on, one to rest the cast on. Just don't go diving for any loose balls over there, his mom said. He said they were doing more stuff today. He lied, except for the part about the new cast, which they put on yesterday, she said. If the doctors hadn't said okay, I would have had to bust him out. He can come over and coach if he wants. He said you're the coach.
The horn had sounded, meaning they were about to start.
Danny huddled his teammates up, knelt down in the middle of the circle, took a deep breath, and just started rattling stuff off. Who was going to start? That he was going to bring Ty off the bench sometime in the first quarter, depending on how the game was going. Will and Oliver, almost at the same time, said Ty could start in place of them. Danny started to say something, but Ty cut him off, saying they'd decided he should come off the bench, fit in that way. And, he said, he could be a bench coach when he was on the bench. Danny said, I'm all out of pre-game speeches. Anybody got any bright ideas?
Will Stoddard, looking serious for a change, as if he'd left the class clown back in Mrs. Walker's classroom, said,
I do.
He looked down at Danny.
You're the biggest kid here, he said. I just thought somebody needed to say that.
The Warriors responded to that by jumping up and down and going, woof, 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 like somebody'd let the dogs out. Danny remembered what his dad had said and decided to steal the line for himself.
You never know what day might turn out to be the best day of your whole life, he said.
He gave them all a no-biggie shrug.
He said, how about we make it today?
The Vikings started Dayrod, Jack Hardy, Teddy Moran, Andy Main, and Daryl Mullins. Danny went with himself, Colby, Bren, Will, and Oliver Town. Right before they had broken the huddle, Ty had said to Danny,
When you make it a triangle in two against Dayrod, tell them to pack the triangle in tight.
Danny smiled.
I was hoping they'd allow us to use a triangle in four.
It was 8-4 Vikings after 4 minutes. Danny had made the first basket of the game, sneaking behind Dayrod Rodriguez and breaking away for a layup. Then Dayrod, who was already giving Oliver Town fits, Danny having Oliver try to shadow him, made three straight for the Vikings. Colby came back with a bomb from the corner, right near where Richie Walker was sitting, that made him pound one of his crutches on the floor. Daryl Mullins came right back for the Vikings, streaking down the lane and going up so high over Colby that Danny pictured him actually dunking the sucker for a second. They got a whistle when the ball went skipping through a door that wasn't closed all the way. When they did, Danny motioned for Ty to go to the scorer's table and come in for Oliver.
You take the big guy, Danny said.
Ty smiled, just because he was back in the game.
My pleasure, he said. You get tired, you tell me, Danny said. Ty said, I'm rested enough.
They tapped fists. Ty went over and stood with Will now, while the refs reset the clock, which had kept running when the ball had disappeared through the door. Danny couldn't help himself. He looked over at Mr. Ross, who was staring across the court to where Ty and Will were, Ty laughing now at something Will had just said. Danny thought he'd look mad, but he didn't. There was something else on his face. Not a smile, just this curious kind of look. Tony the ref blew his whistle, meaning they were finally ready to go. Mr. Ross stood up then and said,
Could you wait a second, Tony?
His voice sounded loud in the gym. He leaned down and whispered something to Darryl Mullen's dad, Darryl Sr., his assistant coach. Then he reached down next to his chair and handed Darryl Sr. his clipboard. Then he waved for the Vikings to come over real fast, and now he was the one kneeling in a circle of players, talking and pointing. Now he was smiling. Tony the ref came over, and Mr. Ross put a hand on his shoulder and leaned close to his ear. Then Mr. Ross folded up his folding chair and walked diagonally across the court toward the bleachers. And then Ty's dad did something even more amazing than leaving the bench. He went over to where Richie Walker was and reached down and shook his hand and unfolded his chair and got ready to watch the rest of the game from over there. As great as Ty Ross was at basketball, as easy as he'd made it look from the time Danny first played with him in fifth grade travel, he didn't have superhuman powers. So he looked rusty on offense from the start, missing his first three shots, even turning the ball over a couple of times. He was giving Dayrod Rodriguez all he wanted at the other end of the court, though, even keeping him off the boards, outsmarting him time after time when the ball was in the air and beating him to the right spot under the basket. But even if everybody else didn't know how much he was pressing on offense, Danny could see it as clear as day. It wasn't until the last minute of the first quarter, a fast break, that Ty showed everybody in the gym just who it was they were watching, and reminded Danny, who really didn't need much reminding, why he'd wanted to hoop with Ty Ross in the first place. Will came up with a long rebound, beating Teddy Moran to the ball, because Teddy had stood there waiting for it to come to him. The Vikings, sure Teddy was going to come up with the ball and keep them on offense, relaxed for just a second. By then, Will had passed the ball to Danny. Ty, who could always see a play happening about 5 seconds before it happened, took off for the other end of the court. Jack Hardy had gotten back on defense, maybe because he'd never expected Teddy Moran to hustle after a ball. Danny came from his right with the ball, Ty from Jack's left. 2-on-1. Danny didn't want to be coming down the left side of the court. His left shoulder was aching constantly now, the way a toothache ached, and he was afraid that if Jack backed off to cover Ty, Danny might have to shoot a left-handed layup. He wasn't sure at this point that he could even raise his arm high enough. If he went with his right hand, he was begging Jack to try to block his shot, even if Jack had to get back on Danny in a flash to do it. Danny was at full speed as he passed the free throw line. Jack backed off to cover Ty, or so Danny thought. Jack Hardy had suckered him. He only head-faked toward Ty, waited until Danny went into the air, then came at him with arms that looked as tall as trees and seemed to be everywhere at once. Danny had already committed himself, was already in the air. But instead of putting up his shot anyway, instead of even trying to raise his left arm, he underhanded the ball hard underneath Jack Hardy's arms and off the backboard. It was a pass, not a shot. It was a pass that caromed perfectly off the top of the backboard, came right to Ty on the other side of the basket, Ty catching it and shooting it in the same motion, not even using the backboard himself, putting up a soft shot that was nothing but net. Like this was a move they'd spent their whole lives practicing. Vikings 12, Warriors 10. Nobody scored from there until the end of the quarter. When they ran off the court after the horn, Danny said to Ty, "Okay, dude, you're back."
I still can't shoot. They'll start to fall. How do you know?
I know the way I know we're gonna win this game, Danny said. He stopped Ty, turned him around so he was facing where Richie Walker and Mr. Ross were sitting, Richie pointing toward the Vikings basket and talking a mile a minute, Mr. Ross nodding his head.
If that's possible, Danny said, anything's possible.
Good point, point guard, Ty said. The good news was that they were still only down a basket at halftime. The bad news, double dose of it, was this. 1. Teddy the moron Moran had accidentally figured out that Danny was hurting. 2. Ty, despite scoring 10 points in the second quarter and looking like his old self, had picked up 3 fouls along the way. He had 3 fouls, and so did Bren. So did Colby. Danny was going to take Ty out of the game after his second foul, but Ty told him not to worry. He could make it to halftime without picking up his third, there being only 90 seconds left if they went into a straight zone. But the next time the Warriors had the ball, Ty made a move to the basket against Dayrod, and Teddy Moran came over to help out. Ty didn't see Teddy coming, and barely brushed him as he spun into his move against Dayrod, but Teddy threw out his arms and flopped backward as if he'd been sideswiped by a truck. Tony the ref gave him the call. Offensive foul on Ty. 3rd foul. 10 seconds left in the half. The Vikings gave the ball right back when Andy Main got called for stepping over the line when he was trying to inbound the ball. So the Warriors would get the last shot of the half. The Vikings put a half-baked press on them, Teddy covering Danny. While they were waiting for Tony to hand the ball to Colby, Teddy slapped Danny on the back, smiling again like they were practically best buds. But Teddy had caught him on the spot back there that hurt the most, the exact place where he landed last night. Danny couldn't help himself. He yelled out in pain, even getting the attention of Tony the ref, who turned around to see what the problem was. Danny waved him off, like they were just kidding.
What have we here? Teddy Moran said quietly.
Then clipped Danny again for good measure, right before Danny broke away so Colby could pass him the ball. They went out into the hall for halftime the way they had at the Kirkland game, Danny's first as coach. Richie Walker always said that when you had a good routine going, stay with it. So they all had Fruit Punch Red Gatorade again. His mom brought the oranges. There was even more excitement crackling around them now, one half in the books, than there had been before the game. Because of this. Because they'd showed they could play with the Vikings. Danny hadn't dominated Andy Main when Andy had been guarding him, not by a long shot. But Andy, despite having the size on Danny and the strength, had only scored 1 basket. Danny, on the other hand, had at least 6 assists, probably more than that. It was right before halftime when Darryl Sr. had decided to switch Teddy Moran over on Danny for a couple of minutes, which had to mean only one thing. He was worried that trying to stay in front of Danny was wearing Andy out. In the hallway, Danny said, "Everybody on this team is a coach now. Anybody has anything to say, speak up now, on account of now's the time." Ty said, "I should sit at the start of the third." Danny said, "Maybe the whole third, if we can just hang in there." "Keep it close," Bren Darcy said, "and then bring the big dog back."
"Bad dog," Will said.
Then the guys started with the woof, woof, woof all over again, so loud Danny knew the people inside the gym could hear them. Maybe the Vikings, too. Tess looked at them, shaking her head, this disappointed look on her face.
"Boys," she said.
Danny stood up.
"Here's the deal, okay? I saw the Vikings play Piping Rock. Piping Rock may have gotten the top seed, but they aren't better than these guys."
"Your point being," Will said,
"if we beat these guys, we're gonna win this tournament," Danny said. "No question."
Ty pointed to the front of his jersey. "We're number one," he said. After warm-ups, Ty took the chair closest to where Tess was sitting at the scorer's table. With Robert O'Brien in Ty's place, Danny moved Will to a forward position in the triangle, asking both him and Oliver Towne, asking them as nicely as possible, to somehow prevent Dayrod from turning into Tim Duncan while Ty was out of the game. There was another delay before the start of the quarter while the refs checked the clock again. Allie Walker came back from the ladies' room and waved Danny over when she saw which players were on the court.
"Question," she said.
"Shoot.
We did all this to get Ty to play for us, and now he's not going to play for us?" she said. "Discuss."
"It's like this whole deal, Mom," Danny said. "Don't worry about how things are at the start, just at the finish."
"Check," she said. "Now give me 5.
He did.
"Hey,"
Tess said from behind him. For the first time since he'd known her, she looked nervous, scared almost, looked extremely un-Tess-like.
"You okay?"
he said.
"You didn't tell me sports were this hard," Tess said.
"Are you kidding?"
he said.
"We're just getting to the good parts,"
said the one-armed boy to the tall girl. Halfway through the quarter, the Vikings had stretched their lead to 10 points. Not good. Danny called his first time out of the half at 28-18, thought hard about bringing Ty back right there, decided to stick to his guns, telling himself that 14 points was the cutoff point. If the lead got that big, Ty was coming back in. He explained all that when they got to the huddle. When he finished, he looked over at Ty and said,
"I'm right, right?"
"Your call,"
Ty said.
Danny said, "When you come back in, for good, I want you to play full out. We just need somebody to get hot until then."
Will Stoddard and Colby Daines somehow got hot at the exact same time. It's a terrible thing, Will had always said, for a guy to be hot and not know it. He meant to not be getting any shots at all. Darryl Mullins had been shutting him down the whole day in the Vikings man-to-man, but suddenly Will got open for 2 jumpers, then another. The Vikings tried to double-team him a couple of times after that, and when they did, Will swung the ball to Danny like a champ, and he made 2 passes to Colby. Great passes to Colby, if he did say so himself. One was a bounce pass that went right through Teddy Moran's fat legs, because that was the only way to make it. The other one was a no-looker to her in the corner. Both Andy Main and Teddy kept trying to overplay him, make him go left, because they'd figured out that was the side bothering him. But he made the passes to Colby after going to his left. Then Will and Colby were both hot, and all the Vikings started paying more attention to them, trying to shut them down until Ty came back. Missing the point, the way people did all the time about basketball. He'd always known that everything started with the pass, because that's how everything had started with his dad. A good pass never cared how big you were, or how much your stinking shoulder hurt. It came down to this. Vikings 37, Warriors 33. 3 minutes left. Ty had come back in at the start of the fourth quarter, and as soon as he did, Danny set him up for 3 straight baskets. On the last one, he drew Dayrod over, floated the ball over him like he was putting a kite up in the air, knowing it probably looked like an air ball to everybody watching. Danny didn't care. He knew that Ty knew it was a pass. Ty had read Danny's eyes all the way, caught the ball when it came down over Dayrod Rodriguez, faked Darryl Jr. to the moon, put it up and in. Now they had to find a way to make up those 4 points in 3 minutes. The Warriors hadn't been in the lead since Danny's first basket had made it 2-0. Bren had fouled out by now, and so had Colby. Will was sucking so much wind, Danny could hear him breathing every time there was a stop in play. The whole game, Danny had been telling himself and the Warriors they'd find a way to win. Now he wasn't so sure. No matter what they did, they couldn't catch up. Ty scored off a steal from Teddy Moran, who stood and cried to the ref he'd been fouled instead of chasing after Ty, who got a bunny layup. They were only down a basket. but Jack Hardy muscled his way in and scored for the Vikings. Will answered by throwing up a prayer from the corner after he got double-teamed, then acting as if he knew he had it all along. He ran by Danny, still wheezing a little, and said, "I still got it." Danny called his second-to-last timeout with 1:30 showing on the clock. He wasn't even trying to hide how much his arm hurt by then. When he came running over to the sideline, he must have looked like he was carrying some kind of imaginary load on his left shoulder. He was also tired enough to take a nap. He told everybody to get a drink. Then they all stood around him. Nobody spoke. All he could hear now was everybody's breathing in what was suddenly a fairly quiet gym at St. Pat's. Vikings 39, Warriors 37. Tess handed Danny a Gatorade, gave him a quick squeeze on his good shoulder, smiled one of her best smiles at him just because she seemed to have an endless supply of those. Allie Walker said, "Just exactly how bad is that shoulder you failed to mention to your sainted mother before the game?" "I just need to rub some dirt on it is all," Tess said. "Rub some dirt on it?" "Baseball expression," he said. He was too tired to smile. "I know, I know. One sport at a time." To the Warriors, he said, "Just don't let them get another score." He pointed to the scoreboard and said, 40 points wins the game." Then he told them no screwing around what they were going to run. When they broke the huddle, Danny passed by Teddy Moran, heard Teddy say, "You're going down, little man." Danny stopped. "Ask you a question, Teddy," Danny said. "What, squirt? You ever, like, run out of saliva?" The Vikings were still in a man-to-man, and Danny and Ty ran a perfect pick and roll. Or so it looked, until Jack Hardy came racing over and jumped in front of Ty, blocking his path to the basket. Ty didn't hesitate, gave the ball right back to Danny. Now he was the one with a clear path to the basket. Until Teddy Moran grabbed him from behind with two arms before Danny could even bring the ball up, knocking Danny down like it was a football tackle, falling on top of him, planting Danny's left shoulder into the floor. Ty got to him first as Danny rolled from side to side on the ground, Ty probably remembering the fall he'd taken in the scrimmage. Then he pulled Danny carefully up into a sitting position. "Deep breaths," Ty said. Danny finally managed to get his breathing under control, saw his mom start to run out on the court as he did, froze her where she was with a shake of the head, even though his shoulder now felt like Teddy Moran had set fire to it. Tony the ref had already thrown Teddy out of the game for his flagrant foul. Danny could see Teddy's dad and Teddy yelling at Tony from behind the Vikings bench. Tony turned and told them that the next thing he was going to do was throw them both out of the gym. That finally shut up the whole Moran family. A flagrant foul in their league meant two shots for Danny and also meant the Warriors got to keep the ball. Tony asked if Danny could shoot his free throws. If not, Danny knew, there was this dumb rule that the Vikings were allowed to pick a shooter off the Warriors' bench, which would mean one of the O'Brien twins. NC. No chance. "I'm good to go," Danny said. He stood up, got what he thought might be the loudest cheer he'd ever gotten, took the ball from Tony, went through his little four-bounce routine, made the first free throw, missed the second. Vikings 39, Warriors 38. Still Warriors ball. Jack Hardy was waving his arms in front of Oliver Towne when he tried to inbound the ball to Ty. Oliver forgot you couldn't run the baseline after a made free throw the way you could after a made basket. As soon as he took two steps away from Jack, Tony the ref called him for traveling. Vikings ball. They called their last timeout, came out of it, tried to run out the clock. But when they finally swung the ball to Dayrod in the corner, Danny and Ty ran at him at the same time, trapping him. In desperation, he tried to bounce the ball off Danny's leg. Danny jumped out of the way. Dayrod threw it out of bounds instead. Warriors ball. 1 minute left. Danny called his last time out. Instead of going back to his bench, he walked all the way across the court to